When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Hey, everybody, it's Stephen Colbert. Welcome to the Late Show Pod Show. I'm here with my producer, Becca. Becca, what is today's show?
Today's show, we have Mr. Reed Scott.
Oh, I love Reed Scott from Veep.
Yes, Dan Egan from Veep, great guy. He's on the show to promote The Idea of You, a new rom-com that he stars in with Anne Hathaway.
Okay.
Pretty exciting. So I know you're a huge Veep fan.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a little bit before. Dan Egan, any favorite lines from Dan Egan?
Amy, the gates of hell have opened, and you're my plus one. That's my favorite Dan Egan line.
I want to say nothing was edited out. The amount of time it took you to recite that from memory was astonishing. Yeah, yeah. No, Dan's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Actually was just, I had a dinner with Julia Louis-Dreyfus the other day, and
cool. She
was talking about literally having a script changed at the very last minute.
Mm.
And I quoted a line from the very first episode of Veep to her, where Selena's going to give a speech, and notes have come down from the White House about what can be in the speech. Can't mention petroleum or something like that. And she goes, "Has this been pencil?" And Mike McClintock said, "Yes, ma'am, front and back, very little romance."
Amazing. Yeah. God. Yeah. The jokes per minute of that show.
Sure. "I have no soul." That's another great Dan Egan.
Yeah.
She said to him, "I need you to come with me to the White House." He goes, "Because I have no soul."
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great.
Mm. That's actually the first time I met Reed was out in Los Angeles for the Emmys. He was walking by me at Chateau Marmont. And he looked at me and went, "Oh, hey." And I went, "I have no soul."
Oh, great. Yeah, man, great show. Veep, gotta watch it if you haven't watched it. It's timeless, I think. You know, it's a great watch. Mm-hmm. But, Stephen, something I want to ask you about. Everyone knows you love The Lord of the Rings.
I do, yeah.
You love the Beatles. There's a lot of things that people know are in your canon of passions and hobbies.
Yeah.
What I really appreciate you that maybe people don't know, you respect a good rom-com when made well.
Oh, yeah, sure. 100%.
Yeah, yeah, you watch a lot of the Meg Ryan classics.
All
you know.
Meg Ryans. Basically, when Evie and I were both crippled with COVID this past fall, because we both went through it this fall, in 2023, last bout of COVID, we just watched every combination of Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal, every possible permutation of you know those people. You know what I mean.
Yeah, the Nora Ephrons,
Your Ephrons, exactly.
Yeah.
It was soothing. So they're not all great.
Yeah.
They're not all great, but I just love, I'll watch your, The Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Your, what's her name? The
Cameron Diaz, right?
No, Cameron Diaz. Oh, yeah, Cameron Diaz in it. Yeah. But what I mean, the filmmaker, Nancy Myers.
Oh, yeah,
I'll Nancy Myers it.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Happy ending. People
warm
kiss.
Warm cup of cocoa.
Yeah.
Real nice.
They're big old roll neck thirsty sweaters.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of bowls of lemons.
Yeah.
In the kitchen?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Do you have a favorite?
There's a reason why Harry Met Sally is When Harry Met Sally.
That's
pretty great. I kind of like your Who's Got Mail.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like your Who's Got Mail.
Yeah.
Evie and I, oh my gosh. And then when we got through all that, then we happened upon Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Oh,
did you see
that? I haven't seen that yet.
It's a little bonbon of a movie.
Okay, great.
Charming. And then we decided, it's only going to be very small British movies.
Mm.
And then that led us to very small British, procedurals. So we started watching Foyle's War. You ever watch Foyle's War?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it takes place in the late 30s, early 40s. No, they're worried about a Nazi invasion, but they're also solving crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And in Hastings, you know, a battle of that town, Hastings. And could not be more unplug your brain and plug it into a small community in southern England in the 30s. That same reason why we're completely addicted to All Creatures Great and Small.
You know, okay, I was just about to ask.
Because the stakes of All Creatures Great and Small are, well, what's going on with the cat? Is the cat okay?
Yeah.
Or is the dog going to have puppies?
Yeah.
Is there really tuberculosis in that herd up in the North Field? And what are they going to do? And is he ever going to kiss Helen? I love it.
So
those are the stakes.
The premise is it's a farm veterinarian in England?
He's from Glasgow.
Yeah. Okay.
And his name is James Herriot, based on a series of books by James Herriot.
Okay.
Which is a pen name, but the guy was his life. And in 1937, he moves to Yorkshire, to a little town, and with a lot of surly farmers, and has to basically make his way in among this farm community of very sort of close-minded people under the tutelage of a very judgmental older vet and the people in the household. And it just couldn't be more charming.
That's
again
great.
You could not there's not a sharp edge. You couldn't cut your wrist with this show. Like there's nothing upsetting about it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Is this on BritBox? How are you watching this?
I think I'm watching on the Amazon.
Okay,
that's where I'm doing it.
You ever been on BritBox though? It's a great
subscribed to BritBox.
Have you ever watched Spring Watch?
No, what is Spring Watch?
Okay, I think you're going to like Spring Watch. Spring Watch is essentially a mix of like Planet Earth and like sort of a sports commentary element. It's live. It's a live broadcast of different areas of the United Kingdom in the beginning of spring. And they have like botanists and scientists and like animal experts out in the field. And they say, okay, we're going to throw to you in the meadow. And then they like report on like something that's happening live.
This is
there.
A sign of spring.
Yes, but
like look how fat that robin is.
Yes, look at these flowers.
Or the fiddlehead ferns are just beginning to come up and they're starting to unfurl. Or
yes.
Crocuses, even through this frost, have started to come up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on board.
But the second season, the first couple episodes were so funny because they had a really long winter that year, and the first couple episodes are like, well, we're in the meadow, still a frost. Nothing like not yet spring. Oh god! And they just kept throwing around, but nothing was happening yet.
That's awesome.
It's great. It's great. But it's so fun, and it would be great to do like. I would just love to see a parody of that show happen at some point. I love the idea of like live commentary on natural phenomenon slowly occurring, and maybe it's not that day, but they have the cameras rolling. So highly recommend Spring Watch. Great show. Well, anyways, here's Reed Scott. On the Late Show Watch.
Perfect. A perfect intro.
Yeah.
What could lead into Reed more?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Enjoy, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know my next guest. From Veep, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Law & Order, his new film is called The Idea of You.
Were you in Italy?
Yes, I was. I was in Venice for the Biennale.
Oh, right on. Well, he's stepping up to the plate. Nice. Thing is, he said that you guys were kissing and holding hands. And, I mean, that would just be, like, mind-blowing if that were true.
Yeah, that would be mind-blowing. He is a client. He's been by the gallery.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm sure we can all agree that any relationship with a 24-year-old world-famous pop star would be crazy on, like, so many levels.
Well, I'm not really interested in relationship advice from you, Daniel.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Reed Scott. Now, this is fun for me to have you back because nobody knows that you're actually back.
That's right.
Because almost exactly a year ago, you came on to talk about the final season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That's
so
right.
You were playing sort of a Johnny Carson-esque character.
Yeah, based also a little bit on someone you know.
Dick Cavett.
Yeah.
And we actually got, you and me, Dick, got together to talk about the role.
That's right.
Which was a joy.
It was incredible.
To hear Dick tell the old Johnny Carson
oh
stories,
Oh, my God,
too.
What a treat. Yeah. To have you guys, I got to interview Stephen Colbert and Dick Cavett, which was an absolute just dream of mine. So that was very cool.
So we actually talked about all of that a year ago.
Yeah.
And no one ever saw it because right after I interviewed you for a tape that was supposed to play later in May, the writer's strike happened.
That's right.
Yeah. And so we jettisoned that tape into the heart of the sun.
Where it belongs.
And it was too bad. It was beautiful. It was amazing. Like when you saved, like in the middle of the interview, when that fire alarm went off.
I did what I could, man.
Yeah.
I did what I could.
And you saved that baby dropping out of the balcony. I mean, if only we could legally run that tape.
My only regret was that I could only save that one baby.
Because so many babies.
The raining babies.
It was baby night at the late show. I don't know why we had a baby night. Big news is that you have recently joined Law and Order. Okay, there you are. What's your character's name?
Vincent Riley.
Vincent, are you captain, lieutenant? What are you?
Detective first grade.
Oh, sorry. Riley. Detective first grade.
Yeah, get it right.
Vincent Riley. There you go. It's a classic. It's an iconic show. Everybody's watched it, and almost everyone's been on it. If you're an actor in New York, 22 seasons. If I was even on,
I know. I've heard this.
I was a murderer. Spoiler. I was the killer.
Oh man.
In one of the criminal intents. Were you ever when you were a young actor?
I never got a chance to do it. All of my friends who were actors at the time, it was this rite of passage. You wanted to do Law and Order, one of the Law and Orders. And it just eluded me. I auditioned. I never got it. And then I ended up moving to Los Angeles. And it was kind of the show that got away. So, you know, 23, 24 years later, it came back around.
Now what? Okay. So what did it, how'd you get the call? Like what was the...
It was interesting. It was right after the strike ended. I don't like to read the trades too much. And on this...
Me either.
No. It's not good for your
I don't
head,
care
man.
About show business.
No, of course not. You don't read the news.
Ratings, none of that means anything that to me.
But I happened to read that an actor was leaving Law & Order, and I don't know why, because I had sort of lost track of the show over some time, and I just knew. I said, they're gonna call me for this. And 3 days later, my agent called and said, hey, it's sort of lightning bolt out of the blue, a job has come up. And I said, Law & Order? And they said, how did you know that? I said, I have no idea. But it all came together so fast, and I got to say, it really feels meant to be because I'm having a blast being back here in New York. The cast is fantastic. The crew is fantastic. Like you said, it's an iconic show. I mean, I'm running around New York City with a gun and a badge. I'm like a big kid. It's great.
Do you feel at this point you could fight crime?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the crime's not going to fight itself. They need somebody to do it.
Who was leaving that you thought, yeah, they're going to put me in that spot? Was it Waterston or Mariska Hargitay?
Yeah. When Sam walks off into the sunset, I'm the next call, right? Sure.
Do you remember the first time that we met? It was out of the Emmys years ago.
Yeah, at the Chateau Marmont.
Chateau Marmont. That was a thud. That was that we were at a party. A lot of you Veep people were there, and I saw you, and I stood in a doorway, so you'd have to walk by me.
Oh, my God, I'll never forget it.
Do you remember what I yelled at you when you walked by?
You screamed, I have no soul!
Which is a classic Dan Egan line.
Which is a Dan Egan line for me. Yeah,
exactly. Do you have a favorite Dan Egan line? Because I have... That's not my favorite Dan Egan line. My favorite Dan Egan line is, Amy, the gates of hell have opened and you are my plus one. What I love about that show, and I've said this to Julia too, is that you really get a sense that that is actually not that extreme of a portrayal. I've interviewed a lot of people from Washington, and you guys seem nicer. So did you get to meet your counterparts
during
that show?
I did, actually. We got invited to the White House Press Correspondents' Dinner, which you're familiar with that as well. Mm. And a gentleman came over to me and he said, Rolling Stone did this article about all of the real-life counterparts to Veep or who they thought might be the real-life counterparts, and your guy is here. Would you like to come meet him? I said, sure. And we walked over, and the guy turned around, and he was just straight out of Central Casting. And it was perfect. He was just the buttoned-up prick that I wanted him to be. And he looked at me and sort of looked me up and down and went, yeah, I guess I get it. And just walked away.
Perfect.
And I was like, oh, thank you so much.
Is it true, you guys, is it true the cast still gets together? And like, you guys have a, what's it called? Where you exchange presents.
Oh, the White Elephant.
A White Elephant.
We have a White Elephant party. We got very close as a cast and we've remained so over the years. And we still have it. We were supposed to host it this year, but I'm here doing Law & Order, so I couldn't do it. But years passed. I think it was during COVID. Julia hosted, and it was probably our best of the bunch. Mm-hmm. But there was a very
embarrassing moment for me. You guys familiar with White Elephant, how it works? Right. So this particular year, my wife and I got gifted a Theragun, like a massage gun.
Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
And I loved it. I said, oh, man, I wonder if there's, like, you know, a price-appropriate version of this that I could find for
the White
Elephant.
Because there's a cap on the gift?
There was a cap on the gift. It was, like, $50 or something like that. So I go on Amazon, and I find one. I'm like, oh, this will work. Great. And I send it in. We send all the gifts to Julia's house, and she's got them. We're on Zoom, and she's got them behind her on a big table, and she draws her number one out of the hat, so she gets to go first. And so she reaches behind her, and she picks my gift. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And she opens it up, and she looks at it. She's like, oh, wow, it's a, what is this? And Tim Simons, who plays Jonah, is at home, and he's Googling all the presents, and he says, Reed, is that a vibrator? Well, no. No. It's a personal massage device. Just like it says on the box. And I turned beet red. Everyone's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a little bit better because someone in our cast stole the gift, which means they wanted it.
Sure.
And then I felt completely reprieved at the end when Brad Hall, Julia's husband, stole it back. And Julia said, do you know why he stole it back? Because he's a gentleman.
It was Reed. It was great to see you. Thank you so much for being here. The Idea of You premieres on Prime Video May 2nd. It's Reed Scott, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
All benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests from creators to cast to superfans to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wildcard, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.